Accession number 30396, Mr. Jim Dunphy, Reel 1. Can you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Dunphy?
I was born in Wandsworth.
On what date?
1932, February the 12th.
And could you tell us a bit about, you know, your family background?
Well, my father was a navvy, Irishman. My mother's Irish. And we lived in 101 Wandsworth Road a long time ago. And I used to go to school there.
Hang on, what was your background? What was your family like? I mean, how many in the family?
Well, you know, he's a big bloke, 6'7", you know. They reckon he could do work with three other blokes, so, you know, he was a good worker. That's why he died at 49, I think, you know.
And how many children in the family?
Seven.
Yeah. So it's a big family.
Yeah.
What was your house like? I mean, was it...
We lived in flats. If I remember rightly, we'd done a few moonlight flips, you know what I mean? So, don't forget, in them days, there was a lot of no blacks, no Irish, no dogs, you know. So, I mean, it didn't affect me. I was too young, you know. But I seem to have a reasonable time going up. I remember going to the local place where we got our cakes. We used to get tuppence worth of broken cakes, you know, like jam tarts, that sort of thing, out of the baker's. And I remember going up, getting the accumulator on the wireless charged with me brother, you know. And I remember getting run over in Wandsworth Road.
What happened?
I think we were going to the pictures, and me elder brother, he walked across the road, and I was sort of waiting, and the bus driver said, "You want to cross, Sonny?" I said, "Yes, go on." As soon as I got the other side, pow, broken leg. And they stuck me outside a funeral. Directors, which I wasn't terribly happy about. I always remember that, you know, and I always remember that car with that back like that. That's the car that hit me. Went on a bit, bloke jumped out. Even in them days, I think it must have been a strong car, you know.
So that was the other side of the bus.
Yeah.
You'd gone back, yeah.
I just got the other side, whack. That was it, you know.
How bad were you? I mean,
broken leg, you know.
A bad one, or?
Well, I remember that after I got the plaster off, I was still trying to limp, but. The old man wasn't much into that, you know. Your plaster's off, your leg's all white, stop bloody limping, you know, that sort of thing. He wasn't into, you know, he was a hard worker, and he had hands like shovels, you know. And
was it very crowded in the flats? I mean, there were seven of us, apparently.
Don't forget, you see, my eldest brother, the next brother up to me is nearly 5 years older than me, and I had that brother there, who was in the Fleet Air Arm, he was... like 3 years above him. So I remember he went over to Ireland, and when he come back, they said, "Go down and beat Bill, you know." And I came up to this bloke, and he had long trousers on, you know. I said, "Are you Bill Dunphy?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, I'm your brother." You know, that's something like that. And, you know, we moved around a fair bit.
Always in Wandsworth, though?
Yeah, mainly in Wandsworth. You know, it seemed to be that sort of place. I think at one time he was doing a bit of digging for the underground and places like that, you know, really sort of awkward places. But, you know, when the war come on, of course.
I'll come on. Now, tell me about your age. You were born in 32.
32, yeah.
So you'd be... had you started school when the war started? You would have done, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can't remember the school, but I started before then because I remember... We were coming out of the school, and the place had been bombed, and they had them, you know, them cross things they put there, and they put a big bar across, and all the kids jumped on that to swing, and when they all leapt off and it fell over, who was still on it? Me. With a whack on my head. So, you know.
So do you remember, I mean, you're only seven, do you remember the war breaking out?
Vaguely, I remember, I think, mainly when the planes came over, how my mother used to get us under the table.
So that, you know, that's about a year later.
We had a big solid table, yeah.
Was that a Morrison shelter or was it a table? Do you know what I mean? Because they had a sort of table, like metal thing.
No, it was a big wooden table. I remember, like, a big thick legs on it, you know. And she used to get us under that.
And what was it like in the air raids? What do you remember of the air raids?
Not all that much, I suppose, because I remember, like, the planes coming over, but I don't remember the V2s or the V1s because... I was evacuated by then, you know. They sent me and me, the next brother up.
I'll come down to... was there any bombing any bomb damage in your street?
Yes, if I remember rightly, I think at one time, I didn't see it, but of course you hear these things when you're young, you know, the bloke come out of the pub and he got blown to pieces, but in the two bottles of beer he had in each pocket on the side of him, they were all right, that sort of thing, you know. And about the German parachuters who landed in the market and they all went after him with pots and pans and, you know, that sort of thing. I didn't see it, you know, but you hear it, you know, your mates tell you, you know, did you hear about that German who come down by the parachute, you know, no, and they tell you the story, you know, whether they embellish it or not, I don't know, you know, but you can only go by that.
Now, what about rationing? How did that affect you?
What?
Rationing.
Rationing?
I mean, I think it's food and sweets.
Absolutely,
really.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a great one for food, you know, and really rationing with a right killer, you know, with this little bit of butter and hardly any sweets, you know, and of course clothing coupons and all that, you know. I'm sure it drove me mother wild, you know. Not, you know, but of course my father being Irish, he was into these, not he liked the old pig's head and cabbage with a pile of potatoes, you know. And of course he, no talking at the table, you know, and eat your food even if you hated it. And the other thing he liked is that bloody tripe and onions. Ugh, God, it's no taste to it, you know what I mean? But he'd want you to eat it. That's your dinner. You've got to eat it and don't talk at the table. Otherwise, wallop. You know? So
you muddle through with the ration. I forgot to ask about, I mean, did you go to any other air raid shelters? I mean,
we went down air raid shelters, you know, like
that. Which ones did you go to?
Well, of course, there's so many people down there, you know, people crying and that, you know, and all that business. But, I mean, you know, for what it was, I suppose, really. It was.
Was it a communal one or a tube station?
Yeah, communal.
What was it like? Can you remember it?
All I can remember is sort of like bunk beds. I remember bunk beds, like these metal beds, you know. Seemed to be not a lot of them, you know, but sort of some of them. Very vague memories of that, really, you know.
Were you frightened?
No, I was too young, I think, really, you know. When you're young, you don't realise the, you know, the seriousness of things.
Do you remember getting your gas mask and things like that?
Oh, yeah. And my young brother, he got one of these Mickey Mouse. When they were young, they used to stick the children in, and they were about this big, you know,
about,
all plastic.
About 2 foot by a foot?
Yeah, about like that. And they stick the child inside, and you could see him in there, you know, and that Mickey Mouse, they call that. And we had all our little square boxes going to school, you know.
And what was it? Did you ever practice wearing them? What were they like to wear?
They were like, you think to yourself, can I breathe or not? But eventually you realise that, yes, you can breathe. You know, you're thinking, oh, it's hot as well, you know, that sort of thing. But I don't think I took a lot of notice of the war, really. I suppose I was too young, really.
Now, when were you evacuated? Where'd you go?
I think we were evacuated about 1940, I suppose, when I was 8. We went to Reading. But I think we were a bit of a handful, you know, me and my brother, and of course, the youngest one.
Now, where did you go in Reading? Do you see what I mean? Who you billeted with?
We were about 6 different people, because we were... We were that rowdy, they kept saying, I can't have these two, could you move them? And I think they moved us about 6 times, you know. And
it's just you and your brother in there?
Yeah, and the younger brother, but we hardly ever saw him because he was billeted with somebody else. But me and the next brother up, who was 4 years older than me, of course, he was at the right age, you know, we used to...
So what sort of trouble did you cause?
Well, there was a green grocer down the road who had a bullet hole in his window. But he used to like putting all his wares up on piles, you know what I mean? So then we would go around and we'd get a stick out and poke it through the window and pop, and all his piles would fall down, you know, right so-and-so, you know. And we used to play in that Prospect Park in Reading, you know, I remember that. We had these, you know, corrugated sheet iron. You get a sheet of that and you bend it over like that, and in the winter you can use it like a sledge, you know, like that. And the other thing, they had these great big water tanks for the firemen, you know, when the if the water ran out. They had these great big tanks. Must be about 5 or 6 foot, I suppose. All standing around waiting for the firemen. And I was out with my brother and his mates one day, and they dared me to get up on top of it. And I got up on top of it, and I fell into the bloody thing. So they got me out, you know, and walking home, I was going, squelch, squelch, squelch. And, of course, going into the people who were lodged with it.
Were they kindly, I mean, or did they treat you rough, the people you were billeted with?
I think you're inclined to remember the good things, you know. Like, there was a swimming pool there, and the police used to chase us, but there was this short bit of wood that you run over, and it was a fair drop down, and, of course, the police would go to the edge of that, and then but they wouldn't come across the wood. You know, the swimming pool had been bombed out, you know, and so we'd be playing in there. In fact, most of my sort of teens, I played in bombed houses, you know.
Was there much bombing in Reading?
I can't really remember being bombed in Reading all that much, you know. I suppose it was because we moved around so much, you know, and I think eventually what happened...
Now, what about your education while you were in Reading? How does that sort it out?
Yeah, well, you know, that was all right. What had happened is you get off the train, you all be milling around, and then they'd send you off to different places, and then they'd say, right, you'll be going to this school, you know. And I mean, my family were Catholics, you know, and of course, it hardly mattered, really, during the war. They put you in a school, and it didn't really matter what sort of school you was in, you know, so...
How did you do at school, you know, because you were sort of, what, 7 till 13?
Yeah,
you know,
well, I had a bit of a different education to everybody else, because after we'd been to Reading, my father took us back again. But of course,
how long were you in Reading?
I think we were in Reading probably about a year, I suppose, something like that.
So till 41?
Yeah, yeah, and then we went back to London, but the bombing got that bad that they said, no, you can't stay here, we're going to evacuate you to Cornwall. Cornwall? I'd never seen a cow before. And I was really frightened of them. They're big, great big things with horns. Oh.
So whereabouts in Cornwall did you go?
We went to a place called Linnet Farm.
Where's that?
In Boscastle. It's a listed building now, apparently. All I remember is the walls were fantastically thick. You know, great big thick walls.
And that would be what, 1941 still?
Must be 41, yeah. And because, you know, to me, the smell of the farm, you know, I couldn't believe it. The only thing I'd ever seen was a dog, a cat, and a milkman's horse. You know, that sort of thing. That was my lot. But seeing pigs, you know, God blimey. And the main thing I remember about Cornwall is here we are, we're all piled out, all the Londoners, and they said, okay, boys, into the school, we've got this spread out for you, you know, table, all food. And we went, what? You know, bloody great big table full of food. We couldn't believe it. And I said, now, this is your local, sort of, the local young people, and they'll be sat at that end of the table, and you'll be sat at that end of the table. Now, okay, you can start eating now. Well, I think we had about 19 plates empty on ours, and they had about 6 on theirs, and we was taking all of theirs, you know what I mean? We was really hungry. And I remember we went to the farm, the people in the farm, they were Methodists. And when they went to church, they went to a Methodist church. But the school we went to was a Protestant school. And of course, we were Catholics. Confused you will be, you know.
And so, how did you do it? School. How did you do at school?
Not terribly well. I wasn't the brightest of scholars. I was more into having a good time, really, I suppose.
Were you good at any subjects you liked, or did you just dislike them all?
Not really, not at that age, no. And of course, when my brother come 14, my father come down to take us away, because he wanted him to go to work, you know. And my father at that time, he was living in Cumberland.
So how long were you in Cornwall for then?
Must have been another, well, if my brother was 13 when we got there, when he was 14, my father came down to take him so that he could go back to work. So he was only there for about a year.
1942-ish.
Yeah, but it was
now, what was it life like there? I mean, you know, what do you remember of Cornwall?
What, in the farm?
Yeah.
Well, that's the main thing I remember, them cows, you know. I was really frightened of cows. I'd never seen them before, you know. And they took us down to the beach. I'd never seen that before either, you know. So I was definitely a Londoner, but of course, you know, all of us, we just, as I say, you know, milk horses, cows, dogs and cats, and but not cows or pigs or sheep or anything like that. It's,
how do you get on with the local kids? I mean, you know, because sometimes...
Well, funny enough, the youngster in the family, he was a bit puny. But after we'd been there a year, he certainly got a lot better, you know. And funny enough, when I was married, I went down to see him with the children, you know, and he remembered. And he said that we'd had a good time when we were there, and he enjoyed it. So, you know, that was good.
Where'd you go? Your dad came to get you.
And he took us to Cumberland. You know, I didn't like that. Bloody, the snow. There was a mountain there called Black Coombe, I think it was called. Yeah, Black Coombe.
So whereabouts in Cumberland were you?
Sailcroft.
Sailcroft?
Yeah, Sailcroft.
I think. Do you know how you spell it?
I don't know, no. I remember the... she had a couple of sons, and that's how I started wearing clogs. You know, you have this, like a leather top, wooden at the bottom with a steel coker round there and around there, you know.
So what do you think of them? I mean, because that's not a London thing at all.
No, absolutely not. No, I really hated it there. And when it snowed, bloody hell, we used to go to school and through this path with the mountain there, and the snow would be up here somewhere, you know. You'd be frightened you're going to go down the bloody snow. And when you got to the school, all the locals would be around the fire, and you, being the outsider, you wouldn't be anywhere near the fire. You know what I mean? I didn't like it.
Where were you living with your dad?
Pardon?
Where were you living with your dad?
I mean, we was living at this woman's house, you know. What do they call her? Mrs. Livick. Mrs. Livick.
And was your mum there and the rest of the family?
Pardon?
Where was your mum and the
rest of
the family?
No, my mother had gone over to Ireland with... my youngest brother and me, the eldest sister.
Now, what else do you remember about Sailcroft?
It was bloody cold. I didn't like the people. I didn't like the school.
Why didn't you like the people? Was there any bullying or what?
I don't know. I suppose there was, really, because I probably still had a bit of a Cockney accent by, you know, still then, because I hadn't been away from London all that much. A long time ago, I used to speak like, you know, really Cockney, you know. But, of course, gradually I had a bit of Reading in, a bit of Cornwall in, you know, and then a bit of bloody Cumberland, but not much Cumberland, because I didn't stay there long enough, my father.
How long were you there? You went there in 42?
Yeah, must have been there about maybe 8 months, and my father realised that I wasn't getting anywhere. I didn't like the school, I didn't like the people, I didn't like where he lodged. So he said, well... what I'll do, I'll take you over to Southern Ireland with your mother. That was the worst thing he could have done.
So
because when I got to Ireland...
And whereabouts was she in Southern Ireland?
In Waterford, in Ireland, where the glass comes from. And we lived in this old army barracks.
And when did you get there, 43?
Must have been about 43, yeah. Maybe a bit earlier.
42?
11. Well, yeah, maybe a bit early, maybe sort of end of 42, somewhere around there.
Now, what was it like out there then? Well, you were living with your mother there?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And I got this mate of my upstairs, young boy about my age. I always remember him, Harry Tublett. That kid, he walked around with no shoes on. And I thought, this is a good idea, you know, walk around with shoes. Who needs shoes? But of course, my feet weren't used to not wearing shoes, and I used to cog me toe. The big toe, you'd be walking along, and the big toe would go crunch under like that, and you get all blood round the nail, and you go, oh dear. And the other thing you do is get your splinters. But that Harry Tublett, his feet were like leather, I think, you know. And of course, the other thing was, when I went to the school, I went to the Brothers, and believe me, there's only one way to teach in the Brothers. That's with a bloody great stick. And what did they teach me? Gaelic. I absolutely loved that, didn't I? Oh, bloody
did you speak
hell.
It at all? I mean, did your family speak it at all?
No. But of course, the brothers, they want you to speak Gaelic.
So how do you manage?
I can say a few swear words in Gaelic and a few other words, you know, but it was absolute murder. I wasn't the greatest student in English, let alone bloody Gaelic, you know. And
how'd you get on with the local Irish lads?
Oh, all right, because, you know, I had a lot of relatives over there, you know. My mother's relatives come in a place called Ferrybank, which is just over the road, or over the water. They've got a river there, a bit like the Thames. Over the other side, all my mother's relatives were, and my father's relatives, they were up in a place called Munlavat, County Kilkenny, that is, you know. So, of course, they were all pleased. Oh, hello. And they... Everybody knew everybody else, you know what I mean? And we're all quite good like that. And we used to go to the penny dinners.
What are they?
They were in Ireland.
What are they?
A penny for dinner, you know. That was pretty good, that, because it wasn't sort of spectacular, but it was substantial. You know, you could really eat, like, meat and two veg.
Was this a sort of cafe?
No. It
what
wasn't.
Was it?
No, it was a sort of... Like a school, I suppose, really. As I say, we were in this big barracks place, and you know, we used to go at the penny dinners. I really liked them. I always remember them wooden handle knives, and you used to be able to cut your food up good, you know.
Now, what was this big barracks place you were living in?
I think it was an old barracks, like a bit, I suppose, in a bit like this place, really, but instead of having like concrete floors, they had wooden floors. You know, and quite a few people live there.
So it's just a block of flats, but an old
exactly,
barracks.
Yeah, an old army barracks it was, I think, you know, and they sort of made it into...
So, Jerry, what was it you said it was the worst thing they could have done. Was that for your education?
Absolutely killed me, you know. I mean, spelling is my worst. I'm the absolute diabolical speller, you know what I mean? And the other thing is, as a lot of teachers said... why don't you leave the poker alone when you're writing? My writing's terrible, you know. So my education definitely took a right swing downwards when I went to Ireland. And, you know, then, of course, I was there about a year.
Did you enjoy it, though? Did you enjoy it out there?
Well, it was a change, I suppose. Yeah, I didn't like the brothers, you know, because if you couldn't answer, they'd whack you with a bloody stick, you know.
Was it better than Cumberland, though?
Yeah, better than Cumberland, yeah. I didn't like Cumberland at all. It's too cold. It, you know, it's freezing up there, you know. And
so how long were you out there? You were out there from what, 10? No, well, 1942 back end, so you're about 10 then.
Yeah.
Well, how long were you out there for?
About a year, I think. And then my father came over and decided he'd take us all back to England. But he wouldn't take us back to London, not him. Where did he take us? Burrow-in-Furness in Lancashire.
Now, did you all go?
Yeah, we all went. But, of course, by that time, my eldest brother was in the Fleet Air Arm. The next brother up, he was in the Army. I think he was in the Remy at the time, yeah. And funny enough, he ended up in Korea after I come home. He went to Korea. And so we ended up in Burrow-in-Furness, you know, and I went to school there.
Was that where your dad was working then?
Yeah.
As a navvy?
No, funny enough, he worked away. You know, there was a big steelworks and a shipyard, ironworks, brickworks in Burrow. You know, they had all the works, you know. And he worked in the steelworks in Burrow for quite a bit. And, of course, when I was 14, as I'd...
You were living there quite a while until that's till 1946. Then.
Well, yeah. 42, let's see, I'd be 10 in 42. No, it must have been later than 42. More like 43.
Well, you'd be only 11 then.
Yeah.
You said when you were 14.
Yeah.
How long did you stay in Burrow-in-Furness?
No, 43, I'd be 11, wouldn't I? Yeah. It must have been 11. I must have been about 11 and a half when we got there, 11, 12. 13.
Yeah, that would make sense. But
maybe a bit later even. Maybe I was 12.
So that'd be 1944 you got there.
I remember because the house we lived in, directly opposite, they'd had a landmine land and like five streets had disappeared.
Now, how did you do when you got to Burrow-in-Furness with your education?
Well, I went to a Catholic school, of course, you know. And I suppose I was a bit unruly, like most of the people there, you know. I fitted in eventually, you know. I'm not a great friend of Northerners. I think, you know, I suppose it had a lot to do with a woman next door who used to come in and out like a bloody yo-yo, you know. So I don't sort of get on too well with Northerners, so. And I've still got a bit of their brogue, you know, in, you know, my voice is like, it's like anything. Occasionally I'll go back to a bit like Cockney, but I've got the sort of voice you'd say, I wonder where he comes from.
were you at Barrow when the war ended, were you?
Yeah.
Do you remember VE Day? You know, the sort of celebrations, street parties, anything like that?
No, I don't, funny enough. I can't remember VE Day at all. I mean, you know, my wife, she remembers it, but me, I don't. It just seemed to have gone past me somehow.
So you got to 14, that would be 1946.
Yeah.
And no qualifications, I presume.
No.
What were you going to do? Who decided?
I went straight into the brickworks, where they made bricks, and I was, I suppose you'd call me a barrow boy. You got these 50 bricks on slats like that, and that come out of the machine, and the machine cut them into 10 bricks at a time. You had these 50 bricks, you raced out of that into the kiln, not into the kiln, into the drying sheds, and you stacked them all up, leaving a bit of a air hole in all of them. You did drop that.
That's all right.
And you've done all that, you know, and occasionally some of the boys, as you were racing along with your 50 bricks, they'd stick a brick in front of your wheel, and you'd go whiz like that, and that would be 50 bricks that you'd have to sling back in the hopper to come out in good bricks again, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you enjoy them? That sounds like hard work, very hard work.
It was pretty hard work, yeah, I suppose. But
did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I suppose, yeah, I was fed up with school. I was never great. I was never a great scholar, you know, so I suppose. And I'd give me wages to my old man, and he'd give me a half crown a week, so that wasn't bad, I suppose.
Now, how long were you doing that for?
I was there for about a year, and then I went into the steelworks.
And what were you doing in there?
Well, first of all, I was driving this machine that, you know, when they roll out the iron, they roll them into sort of long lengths like that, and this machine would come up, pick them up like that, move them down and move them into that place where another machine would pick them up and move them along like that. And I'd done that for about a year.
So it's actually driving something, or just on a machine?
Just driving this machine up and down, you know. It wasn't a spectacular machine. It was just something that sort of gripped the red-hot irons and pulled them down a bit and then moved them over a bit. Another machine took them, you know, and that sort of thing.
You did that for a year?
Yeah, and then I went on shift because I was 16. You had to be 16, you know. And, of course, the war must have still been on because I remember...
The war was finished
then. Yeah, my father... He used to go into the, and the next brother up, they used to go into the furnaces, but the furnace, normally you would have to wait 72 hours for the bricks to cool down. But because of the war effort, I suppose it was, they were still fighting, you know, Japan and that.
No, that all finished, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
They must have been working
hard. But they used
to
have to get into the furnace quick, before 72 hours. They used to get in after 48 hours. I know that because their clogs would start burning, you know, because there was like the furnace would have like a 7 bricks in, you know, and the tops obviously would burn away, but the bottoms would get really hot. And then when you went in to reline it, you would take out the top bricks, but obviously the more bricks you took out, the hotter the bricks underneath would get, you know. So then I was driving another machine there, a big machine where you drove it up and down, you over the pots, and the liquid come out into the pots, and it made ingots, you know, and you would wait there till the bloke upstairs poked in the old rod, and out would come the boiling liquid, and it would pour into this giant thing that you were driving, and then you'd have to go up into all, you know, and drop the molten metal into these pots, and that would be the ingots, you know. But the only trouble with that is that as you walked around that place, it was sort of dust. Well, there had to be dust, I suppose, because everything would have burnt if it wasn't. You'd have these great big sparks whizzing out all over the place, you know. my old man, he used to wear this pair of trousers with the pockets here. And once one landed right in his pocket and he was going, can you smell something burning? It was him, you know.